this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National emergency.
Greetings, my friend. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents... places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, of course, later this year, the new Star Wars movie comes out. Many of you, I'm sure, are very excited about that. But have you ever envisioned what it would really be like to come into contact face-to-face with some of those characters like Darth Vader? Well, listen to this story from Pineville, North Carolina. They say once you start down the dark path, forever... or maybe I should say, forever with a dominant or destiny. And that's because a man dressed head to toe as Darth Vader from Star Wars stormed a North Carolina bank and robbed it at gunpoint, which is a little weird. You'd think he'd have a lightsaber, right? Well, police said the suspect entered the State Employees Credit Union there in Pineville around 11:45 a.m., toting a long gun and demanding cash from a teller who immediately complied. No one was hurt in the incident, and believe it or not, during the robbery, the robber actually said, "Behold the dark side of the Force." They don't have an exact figure for how much he took off with, but they say it was at least thousands of dollars. How weird is that? Well, that's the kind of stuff we talk about on this program. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is another big, tall, scary, villainous figure named Sam, the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Joshua P. Warren. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, Sam, what are you, 6'6", right?
That is correct, sir.
I'm thinking Darth Vader was probably around that height. Do you know how tall David Prowse is?
I don't know. I can look this up for you. I would say off the top of the head, I would say something like maybe 7 foot. I don't know.
I don't think he's that tall. I actually corresponded once with David Prowse. I had a Darth Vader helmet autographed by him, and he verified the autograph was real, and I sold it. And I'm my guess is he might be at the most 6'7", but he's a big, big dude.
Okay, I'll find out.
Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. And Investigator Shelley Wright, are you a fan of big, tall, lean, villainous men like Sam the Animal Steel?
Oh, yes.
How could you not?
I know.
Why is it, Shelley, that women are supposedly traditionally into the tall, dark, and handsome thing? What's that all about?
I don't know. I like tall, dark, and handsome. I don't know.
Tall, dark, handsome, and gray.
Tall, dark, and salt and pepper. you never hear that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm into the tall, light-haired, blue-eyed, slightly chubby guy. You know,
the Aryan look?
It's tall, dark, and handsome, like, you know, a vampire type. A Christopher Lee figure is going to cut into the room. Sam, I guess throughout your life, you have fit that, though you've always been the tall, dark, handsome type, haven't you?
Well, I was always taller than pretty much everybody else. I wouldn't say I started growing in to my ravishing good looks until I was in my 20s and I developed a heavy drinking problem. I think that was like sort of the catalyst that really spun it. But most of my life I was kind of gangly, kind of dorky, had a weird haircut. I'm sure you're familiar.
Yeah.
Looked like we had water on the brain when we were in third grade or something.
Sure. Yeah, it's amazing what the alcohol will pack on. If I stopped drinking, I would look like a skeleton. I'm fueled by alcohol, which, you know, I'm in the Caribbean here. I'm in rum country.
A lot of sugar.
Yeah, but hey, I came from Beer City, so I was kind of screwed, right? I was just destined.
Wasn't Beer City when you were here, though?
What's that?
Wasn't Beer City when you were growing up?
It was in my world.
Well, Milwaukee's best, notwithstanding.
Yes, I was the guy who helped take my microcosm and expand it into what Asheville's become today. I have not, of course, had an opportunity to go to the new Sierra Nevada Brewery. Have either of you?
No, I've been to the Oscar Blues Ranch, which is really cool.
Okay.
We have a lot of stuff going on. So Sierra Nevada, is that new one on the River Arts District that they're building, or...?
Yeah, it's like a $14 million facility.
Yeah, huge stage and everything.
Yeah. Earlier this evening, I was at a local restaurant, and I met a man there. One of the fun things about going to a bar is just meeting people and socializing and talking if you're into that kind of thing. And I met a guy who was telling me about a bunch of UFOs that had been seen near his house, which is here in the southwestern part of Puerto Rico. And, of course, I hear so many stories, it's never a surprise. But he said something like, well, I haven't seen any myself, but I've had a bunch of people tell me. And then he says, and I hear this a lot, he goes, then again, they were probably drinking a lot of rum, ha, ha, ha. And I hear people always say right after they give frequently after they give a paranormal report, they say, oh, maybe those guys were drinking. Well, I can tell you that if drinking would allow you to see UFOs and ghosts, I would be seeing them very, very often. I wish that was all it took. So I've never bought into this idea that drinking is going to make you think you've seen a UFO or a ghost. Maybe if you're, you know, somebody who never ever drinks and you're drinking for the first time and you're having some kind of psychedelic, you know, experience. But look, for the average person, it doesn't cause that reaction. But do you know, one of the big things that I'm going to talk about on the show tonight is some UFO news that I think is one of the most important stories that has ever come out about the UFO phenomenon. This is a story that some people have read this story, but it just didn't click with them. They didn't get how significant this is. The U.S. government has acknowledged the reality
of the UFO phenomenon in a way that it has never acknowledged it before. And so, of course, we have a lot of strange stuff to talk about on our program tonight. But hour number two of the show, I'm going to dig specifically into this breaking news. I'm going to explain to you what has happened. And, you know, you can say all you want that UFOs are often part of people's imagination or misinterpreting otherwise normal things like drones and regular aircraft, and planets and stars. You can say that, you know, people are making these things up and hoaxing them. But when the United States government not only has to fess up and acknowledge something, but pay out money because they are accepting responsibility for some of it.
What?
This takes us, yeah, yeah. You just wait till you hear this. I mean, this takes the UFO phenomenon to a whole new level of credibility. So, hour number two, I'm going to explain to all of you what has happened here. It's important enough for me to say, hey, we're going to feature this on the second hour of the program. And then I also have some other UFO-oriented news. We're going to talk a little bit about things closer to home there in Western North Carolina. I've got a new report that came in about the Brown Mountain Lights. And Shelley and Sam, I sent you guys a link to a recent program that aired about the Brown Mountain Lights. Have you gotten to watch it yet, guys?
I forgot to take your name off of my spam filter.
That does happen.
No, I will. I have not.
I haven't yet.
I will.
Really?
Right now.
Yes.
No.
Wow.
It's been crazy.
It has been.
Look, I'm selling coins, Josh.
I am so deeply wounded at this moment. I feel.
Should we have just lied, Shelly? Should have lied.
Oh, yeah. We saw that. It was so good. We loved it. You should see it.
Lights?
Mountains.
I think I'm just going to tear off these headphones, throw them down. I'm going to blast out the door, go to the sea, and walk in and drown myself.
Oh, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me?
Oh, well, that's okay, because it's not going anywhere. It's posted on the Internet, and I'll tell all of you, my real fans and friends, how you can see this later on. But it is cool to get new reports coming in. And one of the great things about this new little documentary, and it's not long, it's only like 25 minutes, is that it has interviews with forest rangers in there who have seen the lights. Very, very convincing stuff. But a guy sent me an email just about maybe 2 days ago. Actually, it might have been, I think it was yesterday. He sent me an email with an interesting report about the lights. So we're going to get into that as well. So we're coming up here on our first break. When we return from this break, I have a story for you from Russia. And this is one of those things that's not just weird, but it's also kind of scary. Because there's some kind of a phenomenon happening in this little town in Russia that is very reminiscent of the old story of Rip Van Winkle. So, I'm glad you all have chosen to spend your evening with us. This is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. We're going to keep you company tonight. This program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can call them, by the way, at 828-298-5402. So keep that number on hand. 828-298-5402. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll be right back.
Spring is here, a suffering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me. And makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. La 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 do dee dee. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Yeah, broadcasting from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains and hosting from the center of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway. I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And we have plenty of bizarre stuff to dig into tonight. It is at long last springtime, though. Hopefully that's good news for you wherever you are in the world. But you know what's funny? I want to mention this real quick. Just days ago, of course, again, I'm here in Puerto Rico. I'm in a tropical environment. And yet, days ago, about 12:15, we're talking 15 minutes after noon, I was working on some stuff here at the Bermuda Triangle base. I had a whole full day of things planned, and suddenly the power went out. So it was a little frustrating at first, especially when I learned within a half hour that it was not just out here where I am, but in the whole area. It turns out the power was out almost 24 hours. That's because that there was some kind of an accident down the road. There was an industrial accident. I'm not sure what happened. But I went and immediately pulled out my Sunshine Simple Solar Generator, which is, of course, created by myself and my team, okay? And this is the world's most powerful solar generator for the price. Guaranteed, hands down. I turned on the Sunshine Simple Generator. I was able to turn my modem on, my router, my laptop, so I was able to get right back to work online. I was able to plug in a fan, use a fan to stay cool. I was able to keep my cell phone charged. For almost 24 hours off of one charge, I had more than enough power to do everything I needed to stay comfortable while everybody else was miserable. And I was talking to Mobius, and Mobius was out of power for 36 hours in the middle of a snowstorm in western North Carolina, and he had the same experience using the Sunshine Simple Generator. So here I was in the tropics, and it worked great for me personally. Here he was in the middle of a blizzard with snow on the ground and ice on the ground, and it worked great for him. The point is, everybody needs to check this thing out. So just trust me, go to sunshinesimple.com, watch the video, and understand why it's so nice to have this and why, that, honest to God, it could save your life. So sunshinesimple.com. So I told you before the break that I have a strange story to share with you from Russia. There is a little Russian town where they say the Rip Van Winkle phenomenon is becoming real. Now, for those of you who may, for whatever reason, not be familiar with the story of Rip Van Winkle, it's a story by Washington Irving, the guy who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, about an old hunter who ends up going to sleep. And when he wakes up, I think it's been at least like 20 years later. It's been a long time since I've read the story, but he's slept for decades. And best I recall, it's because he ran into some little people in the forest who sort of sprinkled some magical dust and made him go to sleep or something like that. Well, here's this real story, okay? They say people who live near a Russian uranium mine are occasionally dozing off and then staying asleep for up to 6 days at a time. In fact, they believe they may have accidentally buried an old man alive because of this. Scientists are struggling to understand the cause of what is being called a sleeping epidemic among the now few remaining residents of this sort of Russian Soviet era ghost town. And it's an area called, well, there's a nearby village there as well. It's in Kazakhstan, and they say that it's in the village of Kalaki. They say the illness, it comes in waves. For example, May of 2013, it happened, and then around New Year's of 2014, and now again this month. They say some residents are even keeping bags packed in case they need to be whisked to a hospital. They think it must have some connection to this disused uranium mine nearby, but experts can't find why. They say almost 7,000 experiments have been conducted into these mystery slumbers. They have looked at the local vodka. They've looked at radiation. They've analyzed the soil, the water, air. They've taken samples of blood, hair, and nails. And so far, nothing has given some big conclusion. They say children affected by the illness sometimes get a frightening series of hallucinations, and then they get kind of weak and drowsy. There's also memory loss associated with this. So they say people sleep at least for 2 days and up to six. And what's even weirder is they say one person will suddenly fall asleep, and then somebody who lives with that person will not be affected at all. So what is it? They don't know.
I don't know about you. I would love to sleep for like 2 to 6 days.
You know, it does sound pretty good. I was sort of thinking that myself, Sam, because, you know, it's like, you know how Michael Jackson supposedly could never sleep?
The propofol, and
yeah.
And he was getting the propofol. I just recently, I watched the documentary called This Is It, which was the last. It was pretty much recordings of him rehearsing for what was to be his last tour. And here was 50-year-old Michael Jackson up there, just dancing his ass off right along with these 20-year-old guys. It's amazing. And I was watching that thinking, boy, how terrible it would be to be dancing like this, center of attention all day long when you're 50 years old, and then you can't sleep at night. I can see why that would become just its own kind of hell, because we have seen ourselves, especially as you get older, there are times when you just can't sleep. And even if you're sleepy, you might not be able to go to sleep. You can take sleeping pills and still not be able to go to sleep.
Have you ever had the propofol? Like, have you ever been put on? Oh, my God, it's so good.
Well, it makes sense. I can see why people would get hooked on that.
By the way, 20 years is correct on Rip Van Winkle, and Darth Vader was 6'6" in his costume.
Okay, so, and you're 6'6", so right on the money on both counts. All right.
Use me as a stand-in analog if you ever need to frame out Darth Vader-sized something. So.
We have to somehow put you in a Darth Vader outfit. We need to make that happen, Sam.
You're not the first person to tell me that.
Is that right?
I don't know. Okay.
Well, you know, I have a big event that I guess you don't know this. I have not announced this. I have an event going on in Asheville in July. And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure that it's going to be an all-day event that happens on Sunday, July the 19th. And it's going to be really amazing and kick ass. And so even though I can't go into all the details right now, I would like for everybody listening to go ahead and set aside Sunday, July 19th on your calendar for some really fun, cool stuff that I have planned. And again, this is in Asheville, North Carolina. What's interesting about that is, you know, that's in late July, and in August, I have a new book coming out. And I'm not fully prepared to talk about what the book is about yet. I have to wait till I get a thumbs up from some marketing people. But I will tell you this. The book has a tie-in to the new Star Wars movie that comes out in December. And so maybe we can somehow work all that together to sure enough get Sam the Animal in a Darth Vader suit for my big event.
I'm thinking July promo 19. Promo department.
I'm the loving that idea.
The publishing house. Be like, I'm sorry, going to need to expense this.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, Sam's got some interesting questions about this German plane that recently went down and killed those 150 or so people. We're going to talk a little bit about that and some of the conspiracies surrounding it. In addition to that, I have a very weird story here, which is just potentially life-altering, about what they have now achieved when it comes to 3D printing. This is incredible. Talk about godlike power. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And we'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren, you're listening to Speaking of Strange, and tonight's show is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can find a link to Wright's Coin Shop if you go to speakingofstrange.com. Also there, you'll find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to things like the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour. That's hauntedasheville.com, hauntedasheville.com. And that was designed by me. It's owned by me. And we have ghost hunts. And we're getting pretty close to the time we might have to wind down some of our ghost hunts, especially the ones using the third-generation night vision goggles. So you want to take advantage of that while you can. And by the way, we've been going through and doing an update of joshuapwarren.com. That's my personal website. And there, it's still the site. It looks good, but it's still a little bit weird sometimes if you look at it on a cell phone. You know, getting the mobile version to look just right. But I want to let all of you know, if you go to the new version of joshuapwarren.com, there is a section there called Gallery of the Strange. And if you click that section, you are going to see some of the most amazing content on the internet. There is a section of the world's wildest ghost photos. There is a section of some of the best UFO and USO stuff there, including what I think may be the first ever footage of a USO, that's an unidentified submerged object, coming out of the water, which I actually broke. I broke this story of this clip. You're going to find psychic phenomena. But if you kind of like scroll down at the bottom, there is a section under Gallery of the Strange, and it says the rabbit hole. And if you click on the rabbit hole, then you are just going to get into a mix of things that are just all over the place. And I will tell you that when you click the rabbit hole, one of the first things that you're going to see are some photographs that we've talked about on this show of Shelley Wright in Transylvania in her hotel room in Sighișoara, which is the oldest city there. They say it's the oldest, best preserved medieval city in Europe. It's where Vlad the Impaler was born. Shelley Wright is in her hotel room being attacked by some kind of ghostly or spiritual entity. We don't know what it is, but you can see this thing literally zipping through the air around Shelley. And so if you go to joshuapwarren.com, click Gallery of the Strange, that's part of the rabbit hole. There's also a link there to my curiosity shop, so I hope that you'll check all that out. Shelley, just out of curiosity, when I bring that up, does that give you a little chill by chance, or how do you feel when I mention that incident?
It was just such a cool incident. It was one of those things that, you know, people think that there have to be a lot of things that lead to other things that lead to other things, that, you know, there's some chain of events before something really cool happens, and that's not true at all. It can be just the most mundane day, nothing out of the ordinary, and then all of a sudden something happens. And we didn't know anything about that hotel. We didn't know how old it was. We didn't know it was haunted. We didn't know anything. And then that night, all of that stuff started happening. And, it was really crazy.
Yeah.
Really crazy. I have fond memories because it's what I do. So, other people,
you were definitely a little rattled after that. There's no doubt about it.
I was, a little rattled, but, I was, really charged up too. I wanted to find out what was going on, and it wasn't just me. Patty had a couple of things that had happened that night too, that, mm-hmm. that everything, it was really amazing. So amazing.
And I want everybody to understand now, we see pictures all the time of bugs and dust and moisture and all that, and we were able to rule that out in the instances of these photos. I will also tell you that my friend Dean Worsing contacted me recently, and he sent me a ghost photograph that a friend of his took, and when I saw this photograph, I started laughing, and that is because there is a full-bodied apparition that looks so good, I thought, this has got to be a joke. And I called Dean and talked to him, and he says, look, I've known this guy for years, this is the real deal, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So Dean is arranging for me to interview the people who took the photograph. And because, you know, that's what I always want to do. I want to go straight to the source. I want them to say to me, we took this photograph. Here's when we took it. Here were the circumstances. This is real. And if they will do that, then we'll do a proper analysis. And then I will share this photo with you. And I'm telling you, if it is what it is being presented as, it is one of the best ghost photographs ever taken. And as soon as that is cleared, the very first people who are going to get to see it are the people who subscribe to my free e-newsletter list. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com, there's a section where you put your email address in and you hit enter. And then I send you emails from time to time. They're all written personally by me. It's spam-free. I pay a fee every month so you don't get any spam or advertisements or any crap like that. So I hope that if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll sign on to the free e-newsletter so I can send you this amazing ghost photo. So, Sam, you know, I was talking about Shelley being in Transylvania. You know, this is one of many places that I have traveled to as well. I'm always on an airplane flying somewhere, and it's very scary when you have these stories come out, like the story that everybody's been talking about regarding this German co-pilot who deliberately crashed that plane and killed 150 or so people. And you have some thoughts on that in particular, don't you, Sam?
Yeah, you're speaking of German Wings Flight 9525. 150 people were on board. And that happened on, what was it, just past Tuesday, I believe, mm-hmm. what it was. So here's the thing, like, if you're thinking about it, like, it seems like these type of scenarios have become slightly more common, or maybe there's more reported on, or maybe we just have more access to news from various sources, you know? But it's like, is this, okay, at first, you know, it was like it's an accident. But then it's like it's been revealed that the co-pilot deliberately took the plane down where it crashed into the Alps in France. And could this potentially, and by no means am I like saying, you know, like am I a crazy conspiracy theorist? I do believe that there's probably more to things than we usually know. But could it be a new phase in terror, you know? Like even going as far to say as could it be like a Manchurian candidate type scenario where maybe an emotionally distraught pilot could be, you know, led in his mind to do something he doesn't even know he's doing. You know, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility. And what happened was that it says you might think the captain would have unfettered access to the cockpit, but it's been designed since 9/11 or in the EU since 2003 to, if you have more than 60 people aboard or a maximum takeoff weight of 50 tons or more, you have to have a compartment door for the cockpit that's designed to resist penetration by small arms and grenades and resist forcible intrusions by unauthorized persons. But that also means that whoever's in there can override it and lock whoever else out. As long as there's somebody in there and they're functioning, you know, they can lock somebody else out. So maybe that's like a loophole that terrorists have found, and this is like a new way of causing terror, because it definitely causes pandemonium and terror in lots of people's lives, you know?
Well, okay, let me give you just a couple of initial thoughts. For one thing, you know, one of my really good friends is Jim Mars, and I don't think that there is a more esteemed and more intelligent conspiracy theorist in the world than Jim Mars. He's top of the list. He's one of the smartest people I've ever had the honor of knowing in my life. And Jim, he caused a big stir by claiming in one of his books that 9/11 was the product not just of terrorists taking over a plane, but that plane was actually being remote controlled, and it was being, you know, intentionally flown into a building. And who's behind the scenes on that? You know, well, that's where it gets really, really controversial. But the reason I bring this up is regardless of whether or not Jim is right, just think about, for one thing, if we have a scenario where the pilot and the co-pilot can control the plane, then you end up with situations like this German one. But if you take the control away from them so that it can be done remotely, well, now who's in control of that remote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll finish up my thought on this whole sort of idea of conspiracy and Manchurian candidates and what might have happened. And then also, before we wrap up this hour, I want to get to the story about amazing advances in 3D printing. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
They only come a ten about twice a year.
Baby,
Tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now coming up next hour, I want to talk to all of you about a breaking news story that is really important. Okay, the United States government has acknowledged the reality of the UFO phenomenon in a way that it has never done before, and in a way that's so serious they've actually admitted that they have some liability for things that have happened and are having the VA put some money out because of it. Just wait till you hear this. I'm going to share that with you along with some other UFO news. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Brown Mountain Lights as well in western North Carolina. Getting back to what we were discussing before the break, though, I was talking about how that when it comes to this German co-pilot who deliberately crashed this plane and how horrible and sad and sickening is that. You know, when it comes to who's in charge of people and how much power they have, you could say, well, if you give the power to the pilots, well, then you can end up with this kind of a situation where a deranged pilot crashes the plane. On the other hand, if you have some ability to go in and remotely control the plane and take the power away from the pilot or the pilots, well, then who's in control of that, right? And could that not also be used to the same end and maybe even more easily manipulated? So I don't know that we have an answer, so to speak, as to the proper way to set all this up. It's kind of like when police officers go bad, you know, you're just kind of screwed. There's nothing you can do about it because no matter what security you have, the people who have access to the securities protocols are the ones who can manipulate it. But if there is a Manchurian candidate type scenario anywhere in this mix, whether it be brainwashing the people who have their hands on the equipment in the cockpit, or brainwashing people who could tap in and remotely influence the control of the plane, it seems to me, just in my little old gut instinct here, that this is not something that terrorists would be behind. Terrorists seem to be lower life forms. They're more of just, you know, brute force, shoot them, slash them, blow them up. I think that if there is some kind of true, you know, mind control happening here, it's being done by powers that are very elite and wealthy and old and well-organized, and that makes it so much more diabolical and creepy. Now, the truth is, I have no idea. I have no information about that incident that you don't have access to, right? I only have the same information coming from the media, so I don't know. But it seems to me, if this is more than just some, you know, sick pilot who decided to do this, if there is some other hand in there, an invisible hand behind the scenes, behind the curtain, trying to sway things, then we've got a very serious problem because it is a hand that is so powerful and so vast that I hate to throw around terms like Illuminati and reptilians and all that kind of business, but it sure does seem to strike a closer chord to those things than it does some terrorist in the Middle East.
Well, I mean, it's just thinking out loud. It's like, obviously, they're going to, you know, look at smugglers or whatever. You know, border agents will crack down on a certain way. They're going to come up with a new way around it. You know, they're going to adapt to what has changed. So, I mean, is it causing terror in a way? Is it causing people to maybe unjustly be more scared of flying than they need be? I mean, that's psychological terror. I mean, it could just be a whole new phase. What if there's like a loophole that they've somebody stumbled upon because it seems to be happening somewhat more frequently. I don't know. I was just thinking.
That's exactly what this program is about, you know, just tossing thoughts out there, and we will keep, speculating as we get more information coming in. But let me just get to this story, because this is an example of how greatly the world is changing, how different and how the perspectives that we must address are always morphing. We all know what 3D printing is, but listen to this. Researchers have now created a 3D printer that works on the atomic scale, assembling complex molecules from scratch. Okay? They say their molecule-making machine could revolutionize the drug development process and simplify the fabrication of everything, including solar cells and other high-tech products. I mean, this is a very extensive story, but they say that they can now take these sort of, you know, these little atomic building blocks and snap them together like Legos. So this is as close to godlike power as we can wrap our little brains around in the practical world, not just taking substances like, you know, some kind of gooey stuff and solidifying it into a form. No, we're talking about creating the very substance from atomic scratch. Unbelievable where this is going. And think about what that could mean for genetics as well. Maybe the Egyptians really were seeing humans running around with the head of a bird and that kind of thing. We're going to take a break. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.